Hallelujah. Man, spring is in the place. I love it. I love it. I love it. I know we had some storms last week, but man, we've got some beautiful weather, and I just hope everybody's out enjoying it. I love to see the grass and the trees in bloom, but I'll be honest with you, this weed trimming stuff is for the birds. But hey, I am not complaining. I'm glad that spring is here, and I'm excited. Speaking of spring, yesterday was Palm Sunday, depending on when you're listening to this, I should say, but we just finished Palm Sunday on March 28th. Palm Sunday is the Sunday that, should be like any other Sunday. We come to worship the Lord. We come to lift up praise to the one true God. But Palm Sunday is the Sunday celebrated before Easter Sunday. You know, that whole thing about Easter. Easter is a name that comes from a false goddess, a false pagan goddess. And yet, for many Christians, we call it Easter, and I get it. But the reality is, it is Resurrection Sunday. It is the most important day of the year for a child of God. You know, people talk about Christmas, but if it wasn't for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, if it wasn't for the cross, man, where would we be? We would be, if it wasn't for Resurrection Sunday, if it wasn't for the cross, we'd be just like any other false religion. If it were not for the empty tomb, if it wasn't for the risen Lord, if it wasn't for all the witnesses that saw Jesus alive, we would be just like all the other false religions of the world. Listen, Buddha's dead, Muhammad's dead, Joseph Smith is dead, but Jesus is alive, and we need to rejoice in that. So as we get ready for coming up on Resurrection Sunday, I want us to focus on some things before we lose track and before we start thinking of Easter and the bunnies and the eggs and all these. We need to think on the purpose of Jesus' coming and his going. That's what I want to focus on today, is the purpose of Jesus' coming and his going. God's purpose for Jesus, God's purpose for the cross, God's purpose for the resurrection, for the Holy Spirit poured out, is for you and I to live up to our salvation. We need to live up to our salvation. In the times that we're living in, it's time to start living like our risen Savior and not like the people waiting on people that are waiting on dying to be with Him. I think so many people right now in the world are more focused on dying and going to heaven than they are living the life that God has blessed them to live, living up to our salvation. So if you have your Bibles, if you have your Bible app, if you have your iPad, your smartphone, whatever it is, go with me to Acts chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. Acts chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. And let's talk about living up to our salvation. Acts chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. Says that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and to Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him on their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you see him go into heaven. So I want to look at some things today pertaining to living our life, living life up to our salvation. First, you need to understand this. I believe most Christian people have a wrong perspective on heaven. I believe most Christian people have a wrong perspective on heaven. We focus on Jesus' ascension and his statements in John 14 regarding heaven, where he says, I go to prepare a place for you, and where I go, there you will be with me also. And we listen to those scriptures and we read those, and that's true, and heaven is real, and we get saved. But then what happens is we turn our mind to eternity. See, the issue is that God never came to earth for the purpose of us going to heaven. That is just a benefit. Heaven is a benefit of a life lived for God. But we have to live the life. The purpose was that we would go, not be going to, but that He would be coming to us. The purpose of God coming, the purpose of Him being with us, was not so that we would get so heavenly minded, but the purpose is that we would do what we need to do here on the earth so that others would come to know Him. Jesus said that we need to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Jesus said we need to pray, and He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus said we need to pray for the kingdom to come, not for the gospel to go. Listen, we need to pray for the kingdom to come, not for people to escape this world and get to heaven as quick as they can. We need to stay here on earth. We need to preach the message of the gospel, the kingdom, to other people so that they will have the opportunity to experience the living Savior. That is why Acts 1:8, He said, we will be filled with power by the Holy Spirit to what? To witness. He didn't say we'll be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit so we can get into heaven. He said we will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can be His witnesses. A witness is in a legal sense, is one that shares with others what they have seen and heard. Think about this. If you're called into court to be a witness, you need to share with others what you have seen and what you have heard. See, our perspective on heaven is not get saved and focus on going, but to get born again and be vessels for distributing the message that He has for us. Look at John chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Everlasting life. The world reads this and holds up signs at football games, quotes this passage and talks about how Jesus came and died so that we can go to be with Him and the Father in heaven. But the reality is putting this message into context, because He talks about everlasting life. John 3:17, He says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him would be saved." Jesus came to give us life so that we would be saved and live a life so that others can be saved. God came in the world so that we would continue to share His message. If you continue to read verses 18 through 21, it talks about how people need to believe and live in the world. Not that He came to take us out of the world once we get saved, but that we would live in the world and preach His message so that others would come to know Him. Listen, if every born-again Christian, if every believer would get a proper perspective on heaven, and if every believer would share their faith and preach to others, the world would not be in the mess that we're in. But the problem is everybody's looking forward to, "Hey, I'm saved. Let Lord Jesus come quickly and get me out of this place." Go to Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verses 31 through 46. Matthew 25, 31 through 46, Jesus is speaking to those in the church. He's speaking to those that are saved. And He says that when we get to heaven, we will be divided and we will be judged. What are we going to be judged for? We're going to be judged for what we did on the earth after we were born again. Listen, if we're going to be judged for after we did, after we got saved, after we got born again, don't you think that we need some time to get this thing right? Listen, there is a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun, but we have an earth to save. N.T. Wright, the great English bishop and author, N.T. Wright says, "The Bible speaks of human vocation, not to go to heaven and live with God, but to reflect God's image into the world." Man, I love that. Our vocation is not to go to heaven and live with God, but to reflect God's image into the world. We cannot be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. The right perspective on heaven is that salvation, healing, deliverance, prosperity, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to bring heaven to earth, not to try to get saved and leave the earth. We need to be praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus came to give us His power and to bring heaven to earth. We have to have a proper perspective on heaven. Number two, Jesus came because God wants to be with us. Jesus came because God wants to be with us. Just like people thinking that salvation is all about getting into heaven, Christians think it's all about us going to be with Him. I remember this, and I say this with all due respect, I remember several years ago when I was on staff at a local church, and I remember this being in the hospital, and this young mother, she was way, way too young to die. She had two young children, both under the age of five. And I remember when she went to be with the Lord, and I remember sitting in the waiting room and comforting the family the best that I could. And the mother said, she said, "Well, I guess God needed her in heaven more than we needed her here on earth." You know, in that time is not the time to bring correction. So I smiled and hugged them. But the reality is this: God doesn't need her. God doesn't need you. God doesn't need me in heaven. God needs us here on the earth to declare the good news, to declare that He loves His people and that people need to get saved. Let's go back to our scripture. Let's go back to Acts chapter 1. Let's look at verses 9 through 11. It says, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go to heaven.'" We want to think that Jesus just went to heaven on a cloud and then we're going to be swept up in a cloud too. I believe in the rapture. I believe in the catching away of the church. I'm a premillennialist and I believe that the day is nearer now than it's ever been. But that is not my focus to get into heaven. My focus is that Jesus wants to come back and Jesus wants to be with us. God desires to be with us. Matthew chapter 1 verse 23 says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with a child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Why? That is translated God with us. God desires. Why do you think that Jesus said, "It's to your advantage that I go away so that I can send you the Comforter, I can send you the Paraclete, I can send you the Holy Spirit"? Because He wants to be in us. He wants to be with us and in us so that we can go out into the world and tell others about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not so that He can just fill us and then take us away and sweep us away in a cloud to go be with Him. God with us. Not us to go be with God. We cannot be the church on the earth if we're only focused on the church going to be in heaven. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, it says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." God did not create Adam in heaven and send Adam down to earth. No, God came down to earth and breathed in man's nostrils. He created man here on earth. And the Bible says in Genesis 3:8 that God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day. God came to be with them. In Genesis chapter 18, God came and met with Abraham. He was concerned. He wanted to share with Abraham what was getting ready to happen. God came. In Genesis 32, God came and wrestled with Jacob. He didn't take Jacob up into heaven. He came down and wrestled with Jacob. In Exodus 19, God came and he met with Moses. He didn't call Moses up into heaven. He came down and met with Moses, and he wanted to meet with the rest of the children of Israel. What about in Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul? It says that he went to Arabia. He met with the risen Lord. He met with Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus came and met with Paul and taught him the things that he needed to teach him so that Paul could go preach the gospel. The book of Revelation, John met with the risen Lord on the island of Patmos. God desires to be with his people more here on earth than us there with him. That day is coming. I look forward to heaven. I look forward to the mansion. But this is the reality. We've got a job to do here on earth. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." He is here with us. As we sit here and share the word, as two or three of us are gathered, that Jesus is in the midst of us. He's not some distant God that's sitting there in heaven looking down upon us, waiting for the day that we die to go be with Him. No, He comes down and He inhabits our praise. He inhabits our worship. He inhabits the time when we're together sharing His word. He wants to be a God with us. Our perspective should bring heaven to earth, and we need to ask the Lord to be with us instead of us focusing on going to be with Him. And number three, ask yourself this. What is your spiritual insurance plan? What is your spiritual insurance plan? Is your spiritual insurance plan a whole life policy or a term policy? I was meeting with a friend of mine the other day, having breakfast, and I was just sharing with him what the Lord had been stirring in my heart to minister on. And he brought this up. He's the one that gets credit for this whole life and this term policy. There was a time in my past, a short time, where I sold life insurance. And I'll tell you what, people make fun of car men, but I didn't like being an insurance agent. But understand the difference here between whole life and term policy. A term policy. Now let's talk about insurance, okay, for just a second, then I'll bring it back to spiritual. A term policy, when talking about life insurance, only pays out when you're dead. The only benefit to a term life insurance policy is when you die. So whether it's a 20-year policy or a 30-year policy, you pay all that money for 20 years or for 30 years, but the only benefit to anybody else is when you die. There are a lot of people that have lived good lives, and people have nice things to say about them when they're dead. But the question is, did they impact the kingdom while they were alive? I've met people that have been in their whole life. They love Jesus, but they've never shared their faith with anyone while they were here on earth. Their neighbor knew that they were good people. Their co-workers knew that they went to church. But both the neighbor and the co-worker could die lost because that person never shared the gospel with their neighbor or their co-worker. There's a website, it's called everywheretoeverywhere.org. Everywhere, the number two, everywhere.org. And in 2019, they did a write-up on five reasons why people don't share their faith. Number one, they're really not a Christian. They go to church, they carry a Bible, they have a cross, they got a sticker of a fish, but the reality is they don't share their faith because they're really not a Christian. Number two, they don't share their faith because they know that sharing the gospel, they don't know rather that sharing the gospel is a requirement. Most people now go to churches and they think it's all the pastor's job. They don't understand that as a child of God, it's their requirement to share the message of the gospel. Number three, people don't feel qualified. They think you got to have a seminary degree, or you got to be a pastor, or you've got to receive a calling to share your faith. And they don't feel qualified, but we're all qualified if we're born again. Number four, they're afraid. Listen, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. If you've got the Holy Ghost living inside of you, what's there to be afraid of? And number five, they're just disobeying Jesus. I believe there's a lot of people out there that have made a profession of faith. They go to church, they're good people, but the reality is they are disobeying Jesus' command. Mark 16:15, Jesus said, "Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That is not the great suggestion. That is the great commission. So there's many people out there that have term life policies. They're term life Christians. They're going to make it to heaven, but they won't impact anybody along the way. People will say great things about them at their funeral, but while they're alive, most people will not even recognize anything about that person's faith. Or you could have a whole life policy. Whole life policies in the natural are more expensive, but because they're building value while you're alive. a whole life insurance policy costs more money. There's more required of it, but it builds value while you're alive. So your family and you can have benefits of it while you're alive. A spiritual whole life plan are those people that are sharing their faith everywhere they go. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes going out and doing something. And sometimes people are going to say things about you. Sometimes people are going to mock you. And sometimes people make fun of you. But the reality is you've got to invest something in it in order to get a return from it. They pray for the sick. They give to the poor. They do more than just go to church. Their whole life is consumed with being a disciple for Christ and leading others to Him. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God." You, as a born-again believer, as a child of God, you are an ambassador of Christ with a commission, with a charge to go and to share your faith. I'm not trying to endorse a life insurance policy, whether you want to buy term or whole life here in the natural, but I'm telling you, in the supernatural realm, you need to be a whole life Christian, not just a term life Christian. The resurrection holiday is coming up, and we need to keep a right perspective. Heaven is where we will spend eternity, but Jesus came for more than just eternity. He wants to be with us, living in us, and He wants us to operate in the power and in the gifts that He's given us here on earth. You are needed more on earth than you are in heaven. So it's time, as a child of God, that you live up to your salvation. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word. I pray that this podcast would go out and touch hundreds and thousands, not because of me, but because it's your word. And your word is powerful. And your word brings life and transformation. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you, Father, for the Spirit of the living God that dwells in us. Thank you for the cross and for the empty tomb. And Lord, help us to live up to our salvation and to share our faith with others. And Father, we give you all praise, glory, and honor, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I pray that you have a great Resurrection Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.